ICEA Gear has outfitted over 10,000 bow hunters across the country, and we're continuing to raise the bar when it comes to bow hunting camo. New for the 23 season, we introduce our never-before-seen panel fabric system designed to be dead quiet, along with our patent-pending bow hunting collar. ICEA Gear. Features and function built for bow hunters by bow hunters. Learn more at asiogear.com.
Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the Bear Bow Hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to another edition of Bear Bow Hunter and the Life Outdoors Podcast. And today we have with us Morgan Rust. Morgan Rust from Rust Packs. How you doing, Morgan?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on, Nate.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. When I started poking around and figuring out what you were all about, I knew I had to have you on. And being that I love to spend time in the wilderness, and I always wanted some, and I'm getting older too. That's part of it also, is I want to spend, I want to spend a lot of time in the wilderness, and pack goats look like the way to do it. So I ended up getting goats for the first time. I've been thinking about it for almost 20 years, but I finally did it. And I started checking out, back when I first started looking, I was looking at Northwest pack goats, and I noticed that you had taken that over.
Yep. I absolutely did. And you're totally right. Like, and I'm sure after those 20 years of you waiting to get pack goats, I'm sure it's definitely not a regretful feeling. Like, you're like, after you found the perfect option, in my eyes, you found the perfect option for your pack goat animal. So that's really cool that you say that. But yeah, I took over Northwest 2020, fall of 2020, and now it's just kind of amounted into this. And, you know, so I'm happy to be talking to you and be able to get the voice out there about pack goats and kind of move it forward and let everybody know that how cool this lifestyle is. And I truly believe it's a lifestyle. I hear
is.
A couple people say that it's a sport, but I think with how much you imprint on these animals and honestly how much they imprint back on you, I think it fully goes into a lifestyle, 100%.
Yeah, people call me a geek over it. I'm serious, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew I'd get this way when I got the animals, before I got them, I knew I would geek out over it because it is... They are just the coolest thing. And I got buddies that are, you know, they raise cows and stuff, and they've right. had some, you know, meat goats and things like that. And they're like, goats.
And they're like, why would you do that?
Yeah. And then they meet my goats and they're like, these aren't goats. And I'm like, yes, they are.
They're like, these are dogs with horns. This is
yeah.
weird.
Oh, they're even different. I mean, I just today we did some different things for their minerals and stuff like that. And I couldn't even get the block holder up. They just kept licking and trying to get and see what I was doing. They're just crazy animals. They're awesome.
They're so much fun. And I honestly was the same way. So I've only been doing it for 3 years now.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still new with it and I'm still learning with everybody else, you know, but one of my really good buddies actually ended up getting pack goats, and he bought two in his first year. And the very next following year, I bought my first two. And ever since then, it's just been this crazy road of adventure. And I've been to some really cool places and just been around some really cool goats. And I totally get what you're saying about geeking out about it, because I went fully into it, ended up taking over Northwest, and now it's kind of led me to here. So
right now I also noticed on your website, so it's rustpack.com, right?
Yes, sir,
right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I noticed on your website also that there are a bunch of t-shirts. Did you do those t-shirts?
Yes. So I partnered with one guy, and me and him kind of collaborated, and I had all these ideas about designs, and he would kind of mock them up and stuff, and he would kind of help me with that. But then I would usually finish it and make it my own and just make it really personalized to pack goats. And my theory there was, you know, wear what you love. If you love to pack with goats, you should be wearing the gear, because
right.
and I wear them all the time. I have my own shirts, and it's a great conversation piece, and it's just another leading bookmark for
right.
people to be like, what's on your shirt? And I'm like, oh, it's a pack goat. I own this company, Rust Pack. And that's how we started, was making shirts and hoodies and hats and doing all that kind of stuff, which really wasn't out there at the time.
Right.
And now there's a couple other different people doing it, and then now it's kind of amounted into this. But yeah, as far as the designs, I wouldn't say I did them 100% myself, but I had a lot to do with making them the final product.
I like the one with the waterfall coming off of the pack.
The mural too was a lot of fun to create.
Yeah, yep. That's pretty cool. I was showing my wife today. I was scrolling through and showing them to her, and she's like, "How come you don't have one of those?" I said, "I don't know. I'm gonna have to order one." So
yep, absolutely.
So yeah, you jumped into it full bore, huh? So were you like a hunter or just a backpacker? What made you want to get into pack goats?
So yeah, I mean, I've been hunting. I've grown up in Utah my entire life. I've hunted my entire life with grandparents, great grandparents. My dad was a really big influence for my hunting passion, and I've been doing it since I can ever remember. Hunting mainly. I fished a little bit, but mainly big game hunting for deer and elk. And I just kind of grew up in that area and just slowly fell in love with it and wanted to get more and more involved with it. And I had actually never heard of a pack goat until my buddy ended up getting pack goats. And once I was around those first two pack goats, I was like, this is incredible. And I was like, why have I never heard of this? And why are more people not doing it?
Right.
And so I started, like you said, I started geeking out and I started looking into it just a little bit deeper and figured out that the community is pretty small and it's really tight knit and it's a wonderful community to be a part of because everyone is honestly so helpful. I've actually said that in one of my previous podcasts because I truly believe in it and it's really cool. But after I got my first couple goats, I was like, there needs to be a bigger audience here. And I know I can see that people are very interested, even if they haven't really hunted. Maybe if they hike just a little bit, people are so interested in the goats because they're so unique. And so I saw a huge need to be able to voice this lifestyle and to put it out there in front of everybody to see how unique it is. And so that's really what started this entire thing, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we initially got the goats here. The reason that we bought the community forest around us. So we bought the 430 acres around us here in Butte Falls.
Okay.
And part of why I have the goats is because they wanted to see if goats could mitigate all the brush after we go through a mechanical clear it. And they certainly can. My
absolutely.
Oh yeah, my property is pristine for fire. When I first moved here, it was scary. And we
really?
Had that big we had that big fire in 2020. And
okay.
And I mean it was within they got us out of town and told us that, you know, don't come back until we call you and all that. And so,
that's gotta be scary.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. So the town, what was around us before, we had no, way of managing the forest. And so now we got a way to manage a fire buffer, but we can't afford to mechanically, clear it. So we got the pack goats and they wanted me to get goats cause I'm on the committee and, so I got pack goats, of course, you know, and
absolutely, yeah, good choice.
Well, and not only that, so there's another reason here is dairy goats are bred to be nice, you
right.
know. Meat goats are just left alone, and nothing against meat goats. I don't want to call them dumb or anything, but they're dumb.
And honestly, I have a buddy that owns 40 meat and show goats himself, and that's 100% a fact. Like they don't want you to be around them.
Right.
They just kind of want to run off and do their thing. So that's interesting.
Yep. And so I you know, after doing a lot of the stuff that I've done and looking into it, I knew I had to get some dairy goats, and I wanted a bigger goat so we could pack with it. So I was killing two birds with one stone, and it's been just absolutely amazing. They're not really livestock or stock animals as much as they are. They're
right.
They're like almost a pet.
Yeah, exactly. That's honestly, I sometimes describe them to people like that when they don't know what a pack goat is. I'm like, it's literally, and you hear this saying a lot in the pack goat world is like, it's like a golden retriever, excuse me, a golden retriever with horns, you know, it's man's best friend.
Yeah, and even sometimes when they want to crawl on your lap, and you know, and they're quite a bit bigger than a golden retriever,
right?
Or when you're trying to put stuff out and you're trying to do things, and they just want to see what you're doing.
Yep, you open a candy wrapper, they're right there.
yep. But no, so you got into pack goats, you jumped into it, you took on a whole company. That's pretty awesome. And then
super exciting.
Yeah, and so you're big with the National Pack Goats Association as well, right?
I'm pretty close with a couple of the members with NAPCA too. I was actually part of the board there for a little while. But I ended up having some other things, and I've kind of focused on running the business and keeping, everybody happy that's getting orders in and kind of focusing on the big picture. But yeah, I'm really close to NAPCA, and they're a really great foundation, and they're really great to work with. They've actually got some really new things coming up. They're going to be having a new website. They've got some really great sponsorships, and for all of their marketers and stuff, they've got some really great things coming there. And when you sign up with NAPCA, they actually have a members kit that they're actually giving out based on what level of member you are. And I don't know off the top of my head exactly how much it is for each level of member, but you get like a little card that has the Pat Goat best practices. You usually get a little hat and stuff. So they're doing some really cool things to enable people to come on and be a Pat Goat, North American Pat Goat Association member, and all of that money is put towards a lot of different things, honestly. I mean, and it all gets kind of decided by the community, which is a really exciting thing to me because they're very vocal about their decisions and what's going on, from what I've seen. And all that money goes to, conserving land that, some places are actually banning pat goats in.
Right.
And, which is really big because, there's been actually really big bans, lots and lots of acres of land that have been banned for pat goats. And that's a whole story in and of itself, which I honestly am not incredibly educated on, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. So being a NAPCA member is a really, really good thing if you want to protect not just your goat and your health, because they're doing a lot of research studies for, urinary calculi, things like that. But it also protects your public land so you can go out and enjoy it. So it's a really important thing to me, and I follow really closely with those guys. I'm trying to I vote every time something comes up. They have calendar sales and they sell some stuff. If you actually go on to rustpack.com as well, we sell a NAPCA shirt. We have a shirt, a hoodie, and a bag tag, and all of the
100%.
proceeds of that, 100% of those proceeds go right back to NAPCA so we can, help out and give back and be able to protect our public land and do all the things I talked about.
Yeah, not a lot of companies give, I mean, a lot help organizations, and thank goodness for them, but 100% is a big deal. That means that
Yeah,
you really
absolutely.
believe it.
Yep, I truly do. I got a passion for it, and I truly believe that what they're doing is very important. And I think that they actually do make really good moves. And I think that NAPCA does help make these decisions, the good decisions to keep those things. And so I think it's really important to keep supporting that and be able to keep them going along and, protect everybody too, not just myself, but everybody that's in the Pat Goat world. I think it's our duty all together because, like I said, we are a small community. We got to work together and, keep enjoying this lifestyle that we all live.
And I'll just touch a little bit. I looked into a little bit of the stuff that's going on with why they don't want them in certain areas, and it has to do with the bighorn sheep.
Absolutely.
But quite honestly, if you look at a lot of what the stuff that they're worried about, pack goats really aren't the problem. It's the other goats and sheep that could get in there. That I think that's the big thing, and our goats just get swept up in that. Because our goats are taken care of. I mean, when you have a string of, say, 10, even if you 10's a lot of goats. If you have 10 goats, but you're still, that's a small herd that you have total control over. So
Absolutely.
you're not going to take pink eye up to the, if you know if you got pink eye in your herd. And
Absolutely.
anybody that is in the pack goat community, the way that we are, I mean, it's just the way we have to be with our goats. You're
Absolutely.
not going to take them out with pink eye. That's just the thing.
Right. And when, I mean, it's a pack goat. So, like you said, it's kind of a pet. So, you're spending at least once a day with them. You're spending a lot of time with them. So, you know if something's up or something's a little bit weird. And I know, I would say almost all or a huge majority of all pack goat people know their goats really well. And if they ever had something like that, they probably wouldn't even bring them in general. But if they did, there's no way that they would ever get close to any other wildlife or anything. Because, we follow some really good guidelines and best practices when it comes to pack goats. I think everyone kind of does, and I think that's really important too.
And I think part of the problem is that people think that we just go up there and let our goats go willy-nilly wherever they want to go. And it's not like that. If they've been around like my goats for a matter of a half an hour, they would know exactly that I can't hardly get away from those goats. You know how it is.
100%. And that kind of plays into the part where it's like, your goat, like people just don't see and understand what exactly a pack goat is, and that's why it's important to voice this kind of stuff and have good conversations, because you got to kind of understand that they truly are like a dog, and they, like you said, they don't want to go away from you.
Right.
They run to you if they're scared and not away from you. So it's like they just don't, you know, because they think of the typical goat that anyone had in their yard that probably tried to horn them and, you know, was kind of mean at them. So it's really important to do that kind of stuff because people just don't really see or understand quite yet what a pack goat really truly is.
Yeah, they need to see it more. You know, I have, so when we go, we've gone on a couple trips since I've had my goats, and my bigger goats they're pretty big now. They're probably 150 to 170 pounds, and they're Alpines. One of them's Alpine, so he's got a really good set of horns on him, right? Well, my next door neighbor is a 9-year-old girl, and she takes care of my goats when I'm gone.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, you know, and she's real hardy with animals. She's, you know, been around a lot of animals, and she's been around my goats a lot. Matter of fact, she comes over to the house and asks if she could walk the goats or do something. And so I had her leading the goats around. That's pretty much what I had her doing all summer long. So my goats on lead are just, and I didn't have to do any of it. She's just,
that's perfect.
Walking them all around. So that leads us into why do you think, you made the statement when you first got on here, you said that you think they're the perfect stock animal. And I agree with you. I agree with you. But I want to hear your opinion on why you think that.
But before I get into that, I do want to make a disclaimer that I have very little experience with llamas, horses, I mean, donkeys, anything like that. I mean, I've rode quite a few horses before, but I don't have a lot of experience like going into the backcountry with them or anything like that. But from my research and for the past couple of years that I've been reading into it, and if you go check out one of my other podcasts on my site, you know, they talk a lot about how a goat can go anywhere. And I think that's 1,000% true. You know, I've talked to people before, and they go in on horses, and then they're kind of stuck at a line while they're hiking up, because they want to get to the high alpine, you know, where the tree line pretty much stops. They want to get up really high, but there's no water up there, so they can't get their horses up there. They can't get their llamas, their donkeys, whatever, because they need to be watered quite a bit. And not to mention feed and stuff, too. You know, those kind of animals can't feed on certain and some things that are in the backcountry. But a goat, you can take it as high as you want. You can take it up the steepest, deepest, nastiest stuff that you can find, and they'll eat the food that's there, and they get a huge percentage of their water out of that feed. And which means they don't really honestly need to drink straight water that often. They still do, obviously, but they're just really, really efficient animals as far as that goes. And I think they're a very low impact animal. You know, you hardly know that they're there when you go into the backcountry with them and spend a couple days. You know, their hoof prints look like deer, and they're, when they, you know, go to the bathroom and stuff, all their pellets just kind of dissipate, and, you know, same as a deer's would. So I think they're really low impact. They can go anywhere and everywhere. And the biggest portion for me is how personal they are.
Yep.
They're so connected to humans, and you imprint on them, they imprint on you, and they're just right there next to you, you know. And you hear the analogy a lot too in the pack goat world that, you know, if a horse gets scared or anything like that, a horse will just take off in the other direction and leave you. But I've been in situations myself actually where, you know, something will jump scare before I even hear it. The goats see it first, and then they jump and run straight back to me. And I'll be with other people, but they come back to me because they know who I am. And, you know, they don't go take off the trail or go, you know, AWOL and then leave you stranded with all your gear on them, you know.
Right.
So they're just really personal and really great animals. And I don't think I totally understand this, but I don't think most people would understand that unless they actually came out and packed with a goat. Because, you know, most people wouldn't believe that because they have, you know, this other idea of goats and what they are. So it's kind of hard for people to see that, but it's 100% true. And those are just some of the reasons why I think, you know, they're the best pack animal.
Right. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I haven't put any weight on my goats yet, but we've gone on a lot of walks, and I live in the woods. So I hunt a mile away from my house, and I've killed elk within 30 miles of my house. So it's all in the same area. So, these goats go out in the same stuff that, I mean, we had a bear coming through our yard for most of the spring. Yeah. And he didn't mess with the goats at all, but they did get close to him every so often that you could know when he was around, 'cause they would start getting a little bit nervous. But,
Right, which is really cool that they're that, like, you know, they're just more in tune with that kind of stuff. They're,
yeah,
you know,
they know
more
what's
prepared
going on
for it, which,
yep.
Yeah, which is so neat to me. I think that's so, so cool to have on the trail.
Yeah, you know, I've been around mules. I've elk hunted okay. with mules, and we spend a lot of time hunting mules rather than elk. And right. You know, and like even when we had this, so we had a bear come through, he come across my fence, and then he come up by the goat pen. So I have a separate pen that I put him in at night, and then I have a barn okay. that I lock him in. It's kind of a makeshift barn, but I like to have him, you know, we live in a wild place. I like to have him kind of protected. But,
right, put away.
Yeah, and he'll start coming up before, so he was starting to come up before it would get dark, before I'd get him in the barn, and they'd stand there in the pen and watch him go by. And you know when the goats start seeing something that they're kind of like, hey, Dad, what's going on? They'll, you know, give you that one, like, what
like,
is that?
Wrong.
But they stood there and watched him go by. They didn't freak out. They didn't become real, you know, flighty and stupid in their heads.
Right.
They're just a really smart animal. And another thing about the goats that I think is hilarious is that if they get themselves into a problem, they'll stop, you know, they'll thrash for a little bit and then all of a sudden they'll stop and think about it. Oh yeah. This is how I got in here.
Yep. 100%. So I actually had a funny experience like that this year. We were packing in Utah. We were going up into the Uintas, for a rifle elk hunt, and well, there's a lot of river crossings, like right in the, like the first 2 miles of the trail, it's a lot of river crossings, probably four or five different ones. And
wow.
on one of those river crossings, there was like two logs side by side, pretty small, maybe 3 inches in diameter a piece. And, you know, all four of me and my three buddies, all four of us, we went across the poles, you know, just fine. And the goats decided they wanted to try going across the poles because they don't really want to go in the water.
Right. Yeah,
and
they
so,
hate water.
Yeah, and so my first goat came up and started going over the poles, and he's my younger Oberhausley, so he's actually pretty small. And we just had a little pack on him. I had my wood saddle on him for training and stuff, hardly any weight. But as he was going across, he got his foot stuck in between the two logs and got completely stuck and freaked out for a second, but then pulled his foot out and then went to walk, and I was like, oh, he's got it figured out. But then he actually fell off the log and fell in the water. But to that, he knew that he had his foot stuck in
yeah.
between those two
yep.
logs and pulled it out
yep.
and was fine and then just lost his balance, you know, and came
yep.
off. But once he fell in the water, you know, he was like, oh, let me get back up. And
yep.
he came right out and came right back to us. So, I mean, he was totally fine. Didn't hurt him at all. It was only
right.
like, you know, foot drop or something.
Right. Right. No, they are. They're funny. Yeah. So I have a lot. I have some, you know, places where they can run around. I got these huge rocks up here, which is great because they can run across the rocks. They get used to all that.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they have figured out is my barn. I have wood stacked on one side and all the hay on the other side, and then I have the hay. It's inside a fence, so they can't eat it all the time.
Okay.
They
smart.
Can eat, you know, they got it in their manger. I always make sure their manger is full, but they'll go and try to get in the hay. Well, anyhow, they figured out how to get past that wood and climb over the wood pile and get into that. But once they get in there, they get stuck. They can't come back out. So,
okay.
So I came out, because I come out, you know, in the evenings and put them away, and I usually yell goats, and they come around. But I hear, meh, you know, that one, you can tell when they're like, what's
yeah,
going on?
It's like
on?
An alarm.
It is. So I walk around, and they're all stuck in there. And I'm I don't know how to get them out. So I just called them, and finally one of them decided, well, I'll just jump. And it was about 6 foot. He jumped down. And
Holy crap.
Yeah, and he jumped out, and they're good. They're good to go. But
gosh, that's crazy.
They're nuts. I'm telling you. And people don't realize how much these goats, so all of ours were bottle babies, and they were all bottle
right.
fed because we got them from a dairy. And we went and picked them out, and they have, so they're, the way that they run their operation where we got our goats is they do a dairy goats, but all of their bucks are pack goats. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So then, you know, you're going to get some of that bigger genetics and stuff out of them. But, so anyhow, they take them right out. They let them, you know, feed off for whatever it is to get that colostrum or whatever it's called. And then they
yeah.
bottle baby them, and then we get them when. Anyhow, they've been with
okay,
us.
Okay, so they're partially dam raised, partially bottle raised. Then.
Yep. Well, so they're dam raised for probably about 3 days, just to,
not too long.
Not too long. Just to get that, was it colostrum or, you know, that
colostrum.
Shot? Colostrum.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Just to get that. And then once they get that, then they start bottle feeding them. So.
Okay.
And so that's how we get them. And so these guys, we're like mom and dad to them, my wife and I, you know, and it's right. amazing. It's amazing what these goats will do and what they'll go through for you.
It's so true. And I actually have a post on my Instagram and it says, you know, if you take care of them, they'll take care of you. And it's 100% a fact. You know, if you do everything you can in your power to make them comfortable and keep them healthy and do all the things that are necessary to keep them where they need to be, they will go for you for miles and miles and miles. Like they don't care where you go. I mean, I've been up in the Uintas again here in Utah. I've been up some really steep, like, water washouts, really rocky, really steep. It was actually like 1,800 feet of elevation in about 3 miles that we went up. And all these goats were packed pretty much to 25% of their body weight, maybe some a little bit over when they were, you know, full grown ones. And they just went right up it and they had no issue at all. And, you know, and they'll just follow you anywhere because they love to be with you. So, and it's just so incredible to watch. Every time it happens, it still amazes me to this day.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll switch gears just a little bit. If a person wants to get into pack goats, how did you start figuring what goats you wanted to get and things like that?
Once I decided I wanted goats, the first thing I started doing was, and for me, I'm a real big reader. I like to read a lot. So I just started looking up information on the internet, talking to some people, you know, from people I knew, you know, my buddy knew some pack goat people at that time. So I just started communicating with people and asking really good questions, you know, and what they thought was the best breed of pack goat, you know, what they were looking for as far as confirmation and all sorts of other things. And then I would ask multiple people. And after I asked multiple people, I'd kind of collaborate all of those ideas together and pick out what I best thought was best and what I was looking for. Because I think that has a lot to do with it based on the breed of goat. It kind of depends because, you know, there's pretty usual temperaments that each breed has
yeah.
from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And so I just was kind of looking for the temperament that I personally liked and, you know, the attitude,
right.
The confirmation, the build, everything like that. And I fell into two La Manchas and I fell in love with the La Manchas because I think they're incredibly smart. They get really big and they're just their temperament. They're a little bit vocal when they're young.
Right.
That's about the only thing I would have to say that they're bad about when they're young, but they've kind of grown out of that and they're extremely good packers and they're so loyal to me that I personally really, really like the La Mancha. But if you're looking to get a pack goat, the first place that I started and I would honestly start was just start reading and start
yeah.
getting into the world and kind of immersing yourself into all sorts of, you know, different people and different topics about the pack goats and just take in as much as you possibly can. So you can make it, you know, your best personal decision on what kind of breed you want and how many you're looking to get, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Right. Yeah, you know, when I got into it, I looked around, and there's a lot of pack goat breeders out there that breed some really amazing-looking animals. They're, you
amazing.
Know, yeah, there's some amazing animals out there. And mine probably won't finish as big as some of those. Some of those animals are huge and just bulky and strong.
Yep.
You know, Mark's got some really nice looking animals.
He has some beautiful pack goats. He truly does.
Yeah. And when I got into it, I was like, well, I don't want to spend the $500 to get, you know, a kid from one of the breeders. And looking back, because my goats are great. I love them. But here's the deal
right.
is you're going to fall in love with them animals. You're going to fall in love with them.
Yep.
And they're going to be around for 10 years. So you might as well get one that's going to pack the best for you while you do it.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with you 100%.
You know, and my goats are going to do all right. They're going to do good. I have four. I'll probably end up picking up a couple more, and I'll probably end up spending the money on the next two that I buy to get bigger ones. I got some Oberhalsey and Alpine mix, and I got a little bit of Nubian mix, like 20% of Nubian in a couple of them. Which
okay.
will make them a pretty big goat. It's funny because they're Alpine and Nubian, so they got Nubian ears that are erect like Alpines. They look
oh,
like
really?
A mule
See,
deer.
Gonna, That's really cool. I was going to ask you about that because I've actually never seen a Nubian Alpine mix, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I think you might have seen a couple of them, but I'll send you some pictures. They're really weird because they got the Nubian long ears, but they're erect like an Alpine, and they can move them around, so they look like a mule deer. They got mule deer
really
type
cool.
ears. Yeah,
but that's interesting. So what's their temperament like?
Mellow,
pretty chill.
They're chill.
Really?
Yeah,
I would think so because my Oberhausli that I have, my smaller, and he's pretty small for his age, but gosh, he is the most relaxed goat that I have in the pen,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and I have one that's more Alpine than anything. His name's Bo, and he's the lead goat, and he is not chill.
Is he?
I mean...
he's pretty aggressive.
To the other goats. He's not to anybody else, but to the goats and
okay,
to that's... the dogs. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and then I have... Melvin, which is in between, and he's got some La Mancha in him too, and he's a lover, but he's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
And but all of them, you know, every one of them follows me in the woods, and I haven't had any of them give me any problems with not wanting to go somewhere. And they start figuring out their lines, you know, the two little guys, they always fall behind. I don't know if that's going to stay that way when they get bigger, but
right, and I've noticed actually a change in the pecking order from my goats because my two oldest ones are two pure La Manchas, and then I have a pure Alpine and then an Oberhausli. I believe he's actually a Saanen mix too.
Uh-huh.
I think he has a little Saanen in him. But my first two pure La Manchas, they, you know, obviously they owned those two younger goats.
Right.
But my pure Alpine, his name's Rico. My pure Alpine, he's getting ginormous. He's as big as my oldest goats now.
Right.
And yeah, he owns the pen. He owns the trail.
Yep.
He's just a goer.
Yep.
He'll be at the front of the pack every time. And I think that's a very, you know, common characteristic with Alpines from what I've, you know, understood.
And they seem real serious. Like, like what they're doing is important, and you're messing with them if you the other goats.
Me, right, absolutely.
My Alpine, he still comes up. You know, another thing, I don't know if your goats do this too. They're like my dogs. If I start petting one, they all want it, and then he'll push the other ones out so he gets all the petting.
Yep.
They'll get a little bit jealous. Yep.
I actually have a goat too, and I don't know if this is, you know, a characteristic of La Manchas, but my one goat, his name's Rudy. He's one of the pure La Manchas, and for some reason, he usually hangs out at the back of the line. But it's funny because when he's at the back of the line, if there's anyone or anything behind him, he like knows, and he'll just scream at the top of his lungs, even with, you know, being a 3-year-old goat now. He'll just scream, and he's like, if someone's behind him, like one of my buddies hiking or, you know, someone hunting or whatever, if they go off the trail, he'll just start screaming. Or if there's a goat behind him somehow and they get off the trail or they fall behind, he just starts screaming like so loud. And he's like, hey, someone's falling off the trail. You got to wait. It's so funny. And he's really great to have on the trail because he keeps track of everybody,
right,
you know?
Right. Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah.
So, and that's one of the most interesting things too, is each goat has a different personality, and I think it's so cool to witness them, and then as they grow up, it changes a little bit,
right?
But you still get that really rich personality that I don't think I'll ever not have a pack goat in my life.
After having them, man, you know, I thought they were really cool before I had them, and then you'll hear every pack goat person say this, and I know people that have been pack goating for a long time, and they get out of it. They have to. They're just getting, you know, to where they can't take care of their animals anymore, or they can. They're just it's just a lot. You know, they're in their 80s and stuff. Although I know a lot of people that still have pack goats in their 80s, but But at the same time, it's like, man, how can I don't know if I could. I told this to my wife just the other day. I said, how can we ever do anything without our goats anymore?
Right.
We actually have a toy hauler, so when we go camping, I'm looking to make a pen so I can take the goats in the toy hauler so they go camping every time I go.
That would be perfect. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. I mean, I even custom built my own trailer.
Right.
Excuse me, just to haul them in.
Right.
Because I was looking for the perfect thing, and I ended up custom making or custom rebuilding, I should say, this perfect, you know, pack trailer. So. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm super happy to have goats, and it's taken me on a really fun journey, and I honestly wouldn't be doing this without the goats. So
right.
It's so much fun, and
right.
I just try to advertise it to everybody that I possibly can.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about rust packs. So you guys have, or you have several different types of saddles, and several Correct. Different types of panniers, right?
Yeah. Yep. So we've got four different types of panniers, going from, you know, the lowest cost to the highest cost. And the highest cost one, you're going to get some really, really good materials that are insanely, you know, abrasive resistant.
Right.
So they don't rub down. They don't do anything like that. Just super high end zippers. Everything is just super nice. Clear down to our river bottom. Our ballistic is our highest end.
Right.
And then our river bottom is our lowest end, which in my opinion, it's still not low end. I still actually use one because it's just such a simple pannier.
Yeah.
And even with the, you know, the Cordura that it's made out of, really nice stuff made in America. It's sewn together really nice and it just fits like sleeping. It fits anything you could honestly want to in it because it's really good size. So yeah, we have four different sets of panniers. And then as far as our saddles go, it's pretty simple. Actually, we have two different types of wood saddles. The first one is the wood saddle kit. And the idea there is you buy it really cheap with a strap set of your choice, being standard strap or mountain strap. And once you decide on your strap, you can either do a wood saddle kit or a finished wood saddle. And the idea behind the wood saddle kit is that you can get it in the box, take it out, and you can actually take it apart yourself.
Right.
You can sand the edges, you can paint it the color you want, you can engrave it, do whatever you possibly want to make it your personal saddle.
Right.
Or you could go with the finished wood saddle, which is from us. We completely finish it, we sand it down to perfection, we actually stain it and clear coat it so that it's completely water resistant, so that as soon as you get it out of the box, you can go out and you can use it for your whole lifetime, for the next long, long time. And the wood saddle kit's the same. You can honestly, it's built very similar to where you can put the wood saddle kit right on your goat and it would be fine, but it kind of adds more of a personal touch to your saddle if you want to get creative with it.
Right, right, right. And with both of those saddles, you talked about there's a regular, what would you call it, mountain?
Yeah, mountain strap and the regular strap.
Right. And so if, say you're thinking about ever using your goats to pack like meat out and stuff, you would probably go with a mountain strap. What's it do compared to the regular strap?
So the mountain strap is actually really unique, and it came from Northwest Pack Goats. And what they do is they have a 2-inch metal D-ring that connects both straps from both crossbucks, the front crossbuck and the back crossbuck. And that metal D-ring connects both of those nylon straps coming from those two points. And it basically just centers all of that weight and pulls from both crossbucks and is able to evenly pull the weight down on your goat and keep it really nice and even. And from that 2-inch D-ring comes a cinch. So that's really the biggest portion of that really Gotcha. Makes a huge difference. Instead, because the standard strap kit is a really nice one, you can still use it, but I would say that it's not made for the extreme packer.
Right.
It's more for maybe more flatlander. Honestly, I've used it a lot for training.
Right.
It's a super simple strap to use. It's really easy to understand and easy for your goats to get used to.
Right.
So right. With the mountain strap, you just get a little bit more adjustability along with a little bit more stability.
Right. Right. So, if you're mainly doing a lot of trails and things like that, you might get by with the standard.
Yes, absolutely. And both of those two strap sets also come with our custom aluminum saddle, which is really cool because the standard strap for the custom aluminum saddle is pretty much the same basis to the standard strap for the wood saddle, and same with the mountain strap. But with the aluminum saddle, you get a cinch and a breechin and a really nice chest strap, and the adjustability on it is just immaculate. You can adjust it to, you know, you can adjust it angularly based on if your goat's really tight on the back and is really steep, like an A-frame.
Right.
Or, you know, if you have a really wide goat that has just really flat back, you can Right. adjust it to that too, and you can adjust the width. And what's really nice about our design is once you get those sideboards adjusted to your goat and you cinch them down with how it's designed with our crossbuck and the lock nuts and bolts and things, once you lock those down, you're going to have so much stability with them that I've never had one move on me ever.
Gotcha.
With putting on 50 pounds on a goat, they just do not move and they're super stable. And you're not going to have to worry about being in the backcountry and not having a screwdriver and a 1/2-inch wrench to tighten down your stuff to get it readjusted to your goat that's packing out your gear.
Right, right.
You know, so it's just really, really tight and tough stuff to get you in and out safely, comfortably for you and the goat.
Right, Right. And so that adjustable one, you can adjust it. And anybody that's been around goats or even any kind of animal actually can tell that there's a difference in the back structures. I mean, my goats, all four of them are different, you know? So the wooden saddle, it probably meets everything in the middle as much as it can.
Yep.
But your aluminum saddle, you could adjust that to the actual goat. So then you could pick up the saddle for that goat.
Yep, absolutely. And you can adjust it to, you know, one certain goat and have another saddle for this goat. And, you know, you can just make it really nice and easy and simple to just have a saddle that's adjusted and you can just throw it on the goat and you're ready to go.
Gotcha.
Not to mention, too, but the britching on both the wood and aluminum saddles for the mountain strap sets, it does have multiple different britching adjustments, so you can actually adjust the britching just perfect on the goat as well, which is really handy.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's nice and tight, everything's fitting good, you don't have a whole lot of rubbing going on, so you don't get wears on your goat.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of adjustability with the mountain strap, which is, you know, one of the biggest benefits. But I would say with the standard strap, if you're looking just for a nice, easy, cheap saddle that is going to last you a lifetime, but is more for your training purposes to get your younger goats a little bit used to the saddle, that's definitely what I would go for.
Gotcha. I'm going to have to pick up some gear. I'm getting to that point where we need to start putting some gear on these goats.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I guess with that, we've been on here for 40 minutes, which is cool. It's cool to talk about these goats, and we're going to have to do this more often. But I'm going to ask you, I ask every one of my guests this same question, that are hunters. And, cause I've had a couple guests on here that aren't hunters, you know, they talk about forestry and things like that. But, the one big thing I want to ask you is, what is your favorite species to hunt?
Oh man, that's a loaded question for me.
Everybody says
really
that.
That's really tough. Gosh, that's really hard because I have this connection with mule deer just because that was the main thing I've always hunted since I was a kid. And some of my best memories with, you know, family, grandparents, my dad, you know, everyone in my family, I've had really good memories tied to mule deer hunting. So I have an emotional connection with that.
Right.
But there is something about hunting elk with the communication and the vocal aspect of hunting elk that I am so addicted to.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to me. But if I were to choose one or the other to hunt for the rest of my life, I would honestly have to choose mule deer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, that the thing is about us here in Oregon is our mule deer are hurting really bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we don't have, I mean, there's some mule deer around, you know, and people kill big mule deer every year, but it's not like the elk herds that we do have. So,
I believe that,
you know. And have you hunted at all with your goats, elk hunted at all?
Yeah, actually quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, this year I've hunted with them for elk for the past 3 years in a row, actually. Yep.
Cool. So, did you get ever, I think I did see them helping you pack out. Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first year, I actually had two older goats that I bought as older goats. I didn't ever raise them or anything. And in 2020, we hauled a bull out of here in Utah, like 12,000 feet, 11,500, somewhere in there.
Wow.
And yeah, we had all of our goats, me and my buddy's goats, haul that elk out. So we got one that year. And then this year, I had my goats help me pack out the one that I shot this year.
Nice.
So
were you bow hunting?
No, we were actually rifle hunting for both of those, but I have been in the backcountry with my goats while I was archery hunting, just unsuccessful.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you bow hunted around your goats and calling bulls, how did they react to the goats?
Honestly, it was crazy. So even just for this occasion in my hunt in 2020, on that rifle hunt, they were still bugling because it was about the 1st of October and they were still talking a little bit. Yeah. And I had, gosh, we had to have had 8 goats with us. And with all 8 of those goats and 3 guys, we were just kind of walking through some pretty thick timber, some thick pines and stuff. And as we were walking through it, we just hear a scream within 100 yards, probably pretty close. So we just kind of slowly meander our way up into the, you know, into the trees, get a little bit closer to him. And we got within 40 yards of that guy. And it took him just a look at really the humans, it felt like.
Right.
He kind of looked at us, and we were kind of moving, and we were at the moment, we really didn't know what was going to happen, so right. we actually had the goat's collars in our hands. And so I think with us grabbing the collars and trying to kind of hold the goats, I think that's what kind of spooked him.
Right.
But I guarantee if we would have just stood there and let the goats feed and walk around, I don't think yeah. the elk would have been too spooked at all.
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to have that what an elk will do. And that's kind of why I got the goats that I have. They all look like elk.
Right.
the coloration-wise. But right. I'm almost afraid because Bo and Melvin both like to rub all the time. And
oh, yeah, okay.
I'm afraid I'm going to be bugling an elk, and he's going to see them goats, and he's going to be like, what is that like, spike hey. Over there doing?
right.
You know, so, and they'll be with me. You know, that's one of the things we do when we're in the backcountry. The animals are with you, or you got somebody with them, you know. And
right.
And so they're going to be with me the whole time. And I don't think it's going to create any issues with trying to get a bull. I think it's actually might even help.
right. Honestly, yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say something like that because I'm always afraid that people are going to think
right.
cat goats are, you know, a right. hunting aid.
Right.
But they're just great to have. But I totally agree with you. I honestly don't think that it scares elk too much.
No.
I will say I have taken my goats out antelope hunting, believe it or not, on the flat prairie just to bring them out and stuff. And the
right.
antelope do not like the goats. They
really?
Know very quickly that something is not right. From my experience, yes, I've hunted them 2 years in a row, and from my experience, those antelope do not like the goats. They take off pretty quick, but antelope are pretty smart critters anyway.
I'll tell you this. I don't know about whether the antelope like them or not. I've never had my goats around antelope, but I know my goats do not like my antelope decoy.
really?
Oh, they hate it. They hate it. I took it out there, and I walked up to them with it, and Bo jumped up like he was going to hit it. You know how they do. They get on their back hind
right.
legs. He was going to whack that thing, man.
Super interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's because they're closely related
yeah.
as far as, you know, families or something.
Yep.
They've got some bad blood or something like that.
But
I don't know.
We have a lot of deer around our house. And the trails that I walk on and stuff, we always run into deer. And
right.
the goats were in front of me. And we came around a corner and there was a deer standing there in the trail with the goats, and they looked at that goat and they started walking towards him like, what in the world? More curious than anything. You could tell they were real curious. And
yeah.
I swear that deer probably would have came right up to the goats if it wasn't for my dog. You know, he finally saw the deer and was like, uh-uh, that ain't happening.
But, yeah. Right. Took
but,
off.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see, you know, it's interesting. I wonder how it's going to work out. Yeah.
It is interesting to see these, like, you know, domesticated wild animals deal with the actual wild animals
mm-hmm.
out there. But from my experience, yeah, antelope is a no-go from what I've seen. And elk, I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal.
No,
honestly,
I don't think it would be.
I think it's like some weird familiarity. So I think
yeah.
it's really cool to see that.
Yeah. Especially as mellow as goats are, you know, they're like every time you stop on the trail, what do? They start eating.
Right.
you know,
<Yep.
laughs> they're looking for something to eat. Or maybe they're
yep.
butting each other a little bit. By the time you got them on the trail for a while, they're not butting each other anymore. But
they're just tired. Yeah.
They're tired.
Just want to eat and
yeah.
Hang
they
out.
Just want to eat and chill. But yeah. Another good thing about the goats that I found is they will pick out things before you ever even knew something was there.
Exactly.
They know what's going on. Yep.
Yep, they're super in tune with that kind of stuff, which is so crazy to me and so cool.
Yeah, yeah, you just watch them.
It's something that I just tell people you have to experience it. I can't explain it to the point where you'll
right.
really understand, but like you just have to experience it because it's interesting.
It is
every aspect of it.
It is. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's good talking to you, and I really enjoyed talking to you and you know going over some of this stuff. And one of the cool things about you coming through and doing this is you're a younger guy bringing this out. You know, I'm an older guy, and I got kids
right.
your age, so
right.
it's nice to see somebody being that in tuned. You know, everybody talks a lot of crap about the younger generation. Well, I don't say that because I'm around a lot of younger generation. And I really appreciate the fact that you're getting involved with the goats and you're bringing this lifestyle forward, you know?
Absolutely. I appreciate the kind words. And I fell in love with this lifestyle and I just kind of wanted to really get into it. And I think there's a lot of room for growth. And I think there's a lot of need to get it out there. Yep. And to people my age too, you know, yep. like you said, I'm young, and I think a lot of people need to get interested in this kind of stuff and get interested in the outdoors and yep. be able to go outside, you yep. know, because like you said, I kind of agree with you that I think this generation is hurting a little bit in some areas. So I think it's important that we get out here and, you know, do the things that are going to get us out of our comfort zones and out of some boundaries to really, really find some really cool stuff and have some experiences that honestly not a whole lot of people get to do.
Right. And there's nothing better to do it with than a goat that loves you.
Absolutely. And packs in your gear. Yeah, packs they in. Make it, they make it more comfortable, yep. more safe. You can just have a great time in the backcountry. It's yep. phenomenal.
Yep. That was another big reason I got my goats is now my wife, I can pack in a little, one of those backpacking cots for her. And she'll go yep. with me now, you know, and I can backpack the wood stove in there in October, you know. And so, yeah, no, I'm really stoked about it. But thanks a lot for coming on. I sure appreciate it.
I'm super grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you get going here. I know you're a pretty busy guy, so we'll have to get back on here and talk a little bit more, you know, once we get the goats going and just get back and talk a little bit more.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk with you. And it was great talking to you, Nate. I'm glad we finally got it done.
All right. Well, thanks a bunch, Morgan.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Barebow Hunter podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Barebow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Barebow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Barebow goodness in them, Barebow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.